Call for Action presents Of Consuming Interest, a public service show that discusses scams, deceptive offers, and other consumer concerns. Here's the director of WUSA 9 Call for Action and your host, Shirley Rooker.
Farmers markets are a welcome sight and addition to our neighborhoods, but one in particular is really worth the visit. It's the Olney Farmers and Artists Market, and we are delighted to have Janet Terry, its founder, with us. Janet, welcome to Of Consuming Interest.
Thank you.
Now, I should tell everybody I've known you for years and only recently learned what her real life is like, and that is with this absolutely astonishing market, which not only welcomes produce, but it also has crafts, paintings. There's just a whole host. I'm astonished. How many vendors do you have there, Janet?
Right now, we actually have close to 80 vendors. We started out with only about 8, and we were in a small shopping center when we first started out, and it was a surprise to me. Montgomery County, basically, they said this couldn't be done. We were doing everything at the last minute. It was really just an idea that I never intended to actually do.
And here you
but
are.
But suddenly I had a committee, and suddenly I was incorporated, and I had a pro bono lawyer, and here we are 7 years later.
Oh, it's really is astonishing. And you do it now at the MedStar, Montgomery MedStar,
yes,
in Olney Hospital, yes, grounds.
The hospital thrift shop grounds.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's a lovely venue for it. There's parking there, and there's lots of space, and you can spread out and walk around, and there's shade trees. And I mean, it really is lovely. And of course, as you know, I drive all the way from Bethesda to come out there too. It's just delightful. And I understand it's the largest farmers market in the area. Am I right?
Yes, it's at least one of the largest. It might be the largest in Maryland, or at least one, absolutely one of.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a difficult road. Our daughter went to school in Charleston, South Carolina, and if anyone who's been down to their farmers market there knows, it's an inspiration. And what happened was, I came back one day and said, "How come we don't have anything in our neighborhood like that?" Showed them some pictures, and then that's what started the ball rolling.
Oh, that's incredible.
However, the county at first, Montgomery County, told us this, you know, you would not find enough farmers. It was too late in the season. There was every reason in the book that why it couldn't be done. Well, that made us really want to do it.
Determined.
So we actually started our first season in October, which is at the end of the season. And it sounds crazy, but we did get 8 farmers, producer only farmers, and a few juried artists, upscale, handmade. And we actually had a very successful 7-week season. And then once we showed the county we actually could do it, they are now our strongest supporters.
Do they have to give you permits to do this, or what do you have to do?
No. Although being on the hospital grounds, we did need to get it rezoned, and the hospital has been wonderful. They actually got a lawyer for us. And I went before a county council zoning committee, and we were able to get it rezoned so that we could be on the property every Sunday from 9 to 1.
I think that's such an inspirational story, how you took an idea that you found in Charleston, South Carolina, and brought it back here and made it happen. And then it's grown. It's just grown so large in such a short period of time. That's not very long for a business. And this is not really business. This is a nonprofit organization.
Right.
And deduction, they do take contributions. Matter of fact, and I'm going to get to it in a minute, but I just wanted to go a little bit more about the market itself. I'm going to talk about some of your fundraisers, which are just astonishing that you've got coming up. So you take this idea, you get a committee, the next thing you know, you're organized and you're running this farmers market. How many people do you have volunteering in it?
We don't have a whole lot. We do give student service learning credits, so we hope. However, if students have too much homework, they simply don't show up, or if they're involved in another activity. So we always wonder from week to week. I have a few committed adults, which is great, but never enough. So
right.
We're always looking for new volunteers. Our students love it. We love having them when they show up. And the students sometimes on their own will come up with ideas. Like last year, I believe he was about 13. He said, "Can we do a haunted house? Please, please."
Oh, what fun.
And he actually, 6 a.m, he got some friends together. His parents helped. And they did an incredible haunted house out of tents. And it was a huge success. He charged a fee for everyone. I mean, I had no idea how this was going to go, and it was terrific.
Oh, what a fun idea.
Yeah.
Yeah, that you know what that says? It says that there's obviously welcoming of ideas, which is so wonderful to see. It's that it doesn't have to be set and rigid. You're flexible. I also like the fact that you give credits to people, needy people, so that they can buy double the amount of produce, right?
Exactly. One of the things, we didn't have the funds to actually have a machine to accept food stamps, now called SNAP. We realized it was going to cost us about $1,000, and we're in the middle of a field, which means we don't have the internet. So right. I just said, why don't we start our own program? And we raised some money last year for this program, mm-hmm. so that if a farmer personally knows someone who's lost a job or their family's been devastated by a fire, for any reason, we don't require identification. We just, if it's someone we personally know,
sure.
we just do it on the spot.
Oh, that's lovely.
We have vouchers, and a farmer simply initials it and turns it over to us, and we reimburse the farmer.
So they can get double the amount of produce
and
whatnot.
Yeah, we are trying to do our best in taking care of the needy.
Well, you have a lot of home canned products. I saw some beautiful pot holders even. I mean, you just have such a variety of things, and not to mention cheese biscuits, which are wonderful. I will tell you, they were, oh boy, and tomatoes and the wonderful fruit and vegetables, peaches, just everything. And plants. You have lots of plants, flowers, you have herbs. People have little herb stands that they sell fresh herbs, and I've known you all these years, and I am so respectful and elated at what you have done.
Thank you. Well, you might be surprised. I actually grew up in New York City.
You're kidding
on
me.
Canned food. My mother was not the best chef in the world. And my husband is about as picky as you get in terms of eating vegetables. He doesn't.
Oh, okay.
But this has really changed our lives, because all of a sudden he's eating vegetables. He's like, it doesn't even taste like anything that you would have gotten in a supermarket. So it's really gotten us a lot healthier.
Oh, yeah. Well, I grew up on a farm. So I really appreciate what this is all about. And we raised all the stuff that we ate. It was, and we can it and do all that stuff. But so I appreciate seeing the products that have been canned, the pickles and all the things that reminds me of when I was a kid. And here I love the fact that we still do this kind of producing of products ourselves and sell it. And our neighbors are very interested in buying it, which I think is an even nicer attribute. Because, boy, when I go there, it is always filled up with people. You just get a marvelous crowd. And by the way, it's on Sunday mornings from 9 to 1.
Yes. And I was going to say, this is actually our first season where we really don't have any signs. Our banner tore. We couldn't afford to replace it. And I'm stunned that people actually now, finally, after 7 years, they know we're there and they just come with even no signs.
Well, I like your email, too. You have a wonderful way to keep people up to date. And we're going to talk about that. Let's just take a brief pause here to let our listeners know that they're tuned into Of Consuming Interest. I'm Shirley Rooker. My guest is Janet Terry, and I am so delighted to have her today, because we're talking about the Olney Farmers and Artists Market, and it's just a wonderful example of community enterprise and putting together a place where we can go and buy healthy food, and it's just a delight. Do you think I like it? I think people are getting the picture. Anyway, so let's talk about some of the things that you have coming up. You have a bunch of fundraisers coming up, but first let's just talk about what you do on a particular Sunday. You have guest artists, you have chefs. You have wonderful music. I mean, tell us about some of the things that you're doing.
Well, we encourage local musicians. And at first I thought, well, you know, everything is based on the Charleston, South Carolina market. So I wanted musicians. And I thought, well, I wonder if anyone's really going to want to come over here, because we don't have any money to pay them. Well, believe it or not, we're booked up after the first week. People just, I don't know exactly why, but they all want to play.
Isn't that fun?
And they do, you know, some of them know enough to put out a hat and get tips, but we have even some kids who are phenomenal musicians, and we have to tell them, by the way, you ought to accept donations.
Sure, absolutely.
But we enjoy it. Some of the music has been fantastic. The artists all must be juried in order to
And what do you mean by that?
Okay, so they must be judged by their peers.
Okay.
We have other artists. We have a panel of jurors who... in order to be accepted, you need an application, but you also must show up or arrange to meet with us and show us a representative sample of your work. In other words, we want it. It's got to be handmade.
You want quality.
We don't want it from your attic. No
right.
offense.
Right.
We want it to be quality. We do have, there's a separate crafts market, but that's a whole nother story. It's this is just juried artists, and it must be producer-only farmers. Our food vendors, we judge them on their merit. Each one is judged. We encourage ethnic food vendors. If it's some, we don't want junk food. You know, we do have pastries, but we won't have, you know, Coca-Cola, Pepsi, sorry, that's out. And we do, we are a healthy market. We're on the hospital grounds. We have a partnership with both the hospital and MANA, the food bank. So we are striving to be as healthy as possible.
Now, what do the farmers do? I'm sure that many of them go to other smaller markets, but there's got to be some people that come in there and they have products left over. Now, the day I was, the last time I was there, I was buying these cheese biscuits, and he gave me an extra one just because he said, well, it's late in the day. It was close to 1 o'clock. And I thought, I got to thinking about, what do they do with these products? Can they donate them to the needy, especially things that are perishable like breads and biscuits and rolls?
Well, in terms of the farmers, that's the biggest area of donation. So every week, MANA, which is the big food bank in Montgomery County, comes with a giant truck, and all of our farmers, but they're already very generous. But now we have a program where we actually pay the farmers to donate even more.
Oh, wow.
Our first, a few years ago, Whole Foods just sent us a check that goes directly to the farmers. We distribute it each week. And now it's actually MANA has enough funds. They saw how successful this was. Apparently, I've been told that we contribute more than any other farmers market in the county. So they particularly like, you know, they don't get much fresh fruit and fresh vegetables.
Sure.
They mainly get a lot of pasta, white rice. If you've ever toured the MANA facility, it's pretty much not great food. So for us, I mean, we love
this.
Wonderful. And we love handing the farmers an extra $50, sometimes even more, depending upon what we have.
Sure, because that helps them.
Right.
Yeah, you've got these products and you can't sell them, and you know, you can only eat so much of it, as good as it is. Well, you know, I love the fact that, who was it? One of the... some magazine said, listed the cities, the nicest places to
Money
live
magazine,
in the country.
Money Magazine, I believe.
Money
yeah.
Magazine. And Olney was number 9. And one of the reasons that they were, that made it so important to live in Olney was the Olney Farmers and Artists Market.
And that was a shock, but it made us happy.
I get it, man. And you've gotten a lot of positive press. And there was an article, I think, recently in the Post about this was one of the emails that they wanted to open. By the way, tell people how they can sign up for your email. It really is worth it. I mean, you send out one a week, and it tells you everything you're doing.
There is, just go to our website, which is onlyfarmersmarket.org, and there's a way to click on, you know, subscribe.
Mm-hmm.
And the newsletter is done by a former Justice Department worker now who's very passionate about farmers markets and loves doing it. And,
yeah.
You know, she really works very hard and is just passionate about this, and we're happy to have her, Kathy Smith.
Now, do people, do you, the vendors have to pay you? Do you charge them anything at all?
Or how do you
clean up and check? Well, I would think you'd have to.
Yeah. In order for us to survive, we have so many expenses. We own 11 tents, which each one is $200.
And you have to put them up and take them down.
Yes, exactly. It's a big job, and they're always, you know, they break if we don't get quality. You need weights. We supply tables. So the answer is the farmers, when we started, we asked the farmers, what should we charge? What should our hours be? They
Right.
told us. They said they don't want to be in the sun, in the heat of the summer after 1 o'clock. So we end at 1 for that reason. And we have a very reasonable fee. At this point, it's $225 for a farmer for the whole season.
Oh, my goodness. That's nothing.
Yeah.
Not with that exposure. I mean, you've got hundreds of people coming through there.
Yeah, and they do well. And the way I judge is they come year after year.
They like it.
If they leave, it means they're not doing well. As far as the other vendors, we charge them a fee of usually $25 on the spot. And we say, if you're not doing well, we want to encourage you. We'll do everything we can to help you.
Sure.
But if you're not doing well, we understand
right.
if it's not worth it.
Right.
So they can pay on the spot, which a lot of them like. The food vendors apparently are doing so well, they pay us in advance. They do pay us in advance.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
but a
great.
Lot of vendors, artists in particular, will just see how it goes.
Right, right. Well, you know, I mean, this is a big job. I mean, you walk out there and you think, oh, this is lovely, and all these people got together. And well, that didn't just happen. I mean, it's because it's organized. You're the inspiration. Do you have a board that helps you?
I do have three other people on our board, a vice president and treasurer and secretary, and they do help. And there's a lot of heavy lifting involved. So we look
literally
for
and figuratively.
Yes.
I get that very clearly. Tents, you have to manage those. You have to store them. Are you able to store them there?
For the first time, we actually have a locker that we can store a lot of tents. And believe it or not, I bought the old Channel 9 van from 1986.
Oh, really?
For $100, and it barely moves. But we have so much stuff that we need a place
to
store.
There.
It's
well,
in
yeah,
there.
I like the fact that you have chairs and little tables, and you can buy something and sit down and eat. There's some beautiful big trees on the ground.
Yes, and I did want to mention we offer community tents to nonprofits mostly. But so if a Boys and Girls Club or the Girl Scouts, if they want to come and they want to, you know, get out the word about their organization, we charge $10. We supply the tent and the table. We ask them to bring a chair, but we'll actually physically put up the tent for them.
Oh, my goodness.
And certain home bakers can now sell what they've baked in their home kitchen without any license at all, as long as it's approved by the health department.
Okay. Well, let's come back to this. I just want to take a break here to let our listeners know they're tuned into Of Consuming Interest. I'm Shirley Rooker. My guest is Janet Terry, and we're talking about the Olney Farmers and Artists Market, which is one of the largest farmers markets in the area, and has gotten a ton of recognition and has some of the most interesting things going on. Now, you have coming up. You have a Chinese symphony? That's going to present. There is a.
I know we have a community
an orchestra.
Tent. Yeah.
Okay. Somebody's coming in to present.
Yes.
In that.
Yes.
It's the Shen Yun Symphony Orchestra.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. That's going to be.
I probably murdered the name, and I apologize.
That's going to be a little bit of a surprise to me. Hopefully, we'll work out fine. I've been on vacation, and so it's kind of a last minute. But we're excited about having them.
And you've got Sheila Kaufman, who's a
yes.
well-known cookbook author.
Exactly.
Coming. Does she give demos? She just talks.
Yes.
Or what does she do?
Pretty much everything is a demo. So she'll pick a theme, and you know, often it's healthy, but it's not always healthy. And then
cheat once in a while.
Yeah, you got to cheat. And also we give a lot of free samples. We provide seating. That's one thing a lot of markets don't do. And apparently the chefs really like that. We actually go and we get the kids to round up chairs so people can
Great.
Sit for a while
and
you know,
and
learn mm-hmm. and ask questions and then sample.
And what time does the chef usually, is she there for the whole time?
Well, it just depends. Our chef demos are 11 a.m.
Okay.
You know, Carla Hall, the former Top Chef contestant who has
I watched her on
she's
that.
She's one of our vendors now.
She seems like a delightful person,
she's incredible.
Too.
But if you, for Carla, she'll show up at 7:30 in the morning and stay the whole time. This is
oh, wow.
one of a kind person.
Well, she's extraordinarily accomplished. So yes, I watched her
and great.
Was you know cheering her on because she was doing so well. Obviously, the girl can cook.
Yes.
Now let's talk about some of the benefits that you've got coming up. I'm astonished. You have some of the best known chefs in the area coming to your kickoff benefit dinner. Tell us about that.
Well, we've been doing these farm-to-table dinners for the past 3 years, and they've been very successful. Basically, we go out to a farm. In the past, we've gone out to a farm and we ask the chefs to go out there and cook outside. We mm-hmm. supply the equipment. You know, they tell us whatever they need. It's a challenge. And it's a formal dinner, usually in a barn.
Oh, wow.
However, it was just an incredible amount of work. A lot of it fell on me, and I said, no more, at least for this year. So this year we're doing smaller events. One of the themes is, of course, sustainable and local, but the chefs are actually, for the most part, visiting houses of prominent residents around town. One is on the bay. That'll be a brunch on the Eastern Shore. One will be in the home of Patty Heenick, who is a well-known Mexican cookbook author and television host. We've got, for our first event, Robert Wiedmeyer will be one of the main hosts, and a whole bunch of five-star incredible chefs will be contributing hors d'oeuvres, so there'll be reception and a sit-down formal dinner.
That sounds totally awesome and so much work.
Yeah, but I'm hoping it'll be less work than the last three, four.
We'll hope for you, Janet. I'm going to attend some of those things, so...
Thank you.
I'm sure they'll be lovely. But, oh, yes, I'm rounding up my friends. I think it's a great idea, and I love the fact that we can do some things to support you and help you pay the bills. And, you know, I mean, that's important because I love what you're doing, and I love your initiative and all the things that you've come up with. So what's down the road?
We always have surprises. We are going to be doing a chili cook-off in October. Last year we learned don't do a chili cook-off in the middle of the summer. It was about 100.
Mm-hmm.
So usually we get round up some celebrity judges, possibly yourself this year.
Oh, I love chili.
Mm. Yeah. And then we'll have a one-day holiday market in December. And believe it or not, the last couple of years, it's been close to 70 degrees. So it hasn't been a problem. But we always have an old school bus that comes, and that's a warming center. So if it does get cold, we have a band playing on the bus. We have a farm animal parade. We get the farmers to round up some sheep and some goats, and you'll see us leading the goats around.
Oh, that sounds totally fabulous.
It is. And of course, Santa Claus always makes a visit, and it's a really special time. We celebrate every holiday. Hanukkah usually is around then, so Hanukkah, Kwanzaa. There'll be specialty food items. Every vendor we ask to make a specialty food item from their country.
Now, I encourage everyone to go to the farmersmarket.org. Is that right?
Only farmers.
Only. O-L-N-E-Y. Yes. Farmersmarket.org.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, and go to the website because you've got it all laid out there. It's really very well done. Talk about each of the events. You talk about what's coming up and those things. And so I just think that it's so exciting, and I just absolutely love it, and I can't wait to come back out there. Get some more cheese biscuits. I'm providing a promotion for them all over.
I got to find some of those.
they were well worth it. So now tell me just a little bit more about this event in December. That's going to be at the same place?
Yes, it'll be. We will make it a little later because we think people want to sleep a little later in the wintertime. But it will be the second.
That's true. Yes. I think it's hard to get up when it's dark and cold.
Yeah, so this will be the second Sunday in December. Apparently the first Sunday is part of Thanksgiving weekend, so we want to not do it then.
The second Sunday.
Yes, and so I believe that's December 8th, and it will be from 11 to 3, so you get a couple more hours to sleep. But it will be very crowded. We pretty much can guarantee it will be very crowded. So you'll have our producer-only farmers. Of course, some of them won't be there because if they don't have any product, then they won't be there.
They won't
but
come.
You will have some farmers. And I'm always surprised at how much produce there actually is in the wintertime. I mean, definitely lots of sweet potatoes.
Oh, potatoes, apples.
Yeah.
Usually you can buy apples.
There's
and lots
way
of
more
like
than
that.
You think. In fact, we probably will have our second winter market, though I'm not totally looking forward to that because I'd like to have a break.
Well, everybody needs to go to olneyfarmersmarket.org and check it all out. Janet, thank you so much for talking about this wonderful. I love it. I love the community involvement and the outlet for the farmers, and it's got all good things going for it. You've been listening to Of Consuming Interest right here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Shirley Rooker, and my guest has been Janet Terry, who is the founder of the Olney Farmers and Artists Market. So go, and the website is olneyfarmersmarket.org. Thank you so much for joining us.
Of Consuming Interest is a public service program presented by WUSA9 Call for Action, hosted by Shirley Rooker. Call for Action is an international nonprofit network of hotlines which offer free and confidential assistance. If you have a complaint, contact Call for Action at 301-652-HELP. That's 301-652-HELP.